They're known as some of the original recyclers. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association is a sponsor of the Business News Hour. With members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, delivering ag parts to farmers and ranchers. NTPDA.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you have clicked through again today. With us on our Newsmaker line is Professor Dan McGeehee from the University of Iowa, and we're going to be talking about automated vehicles, vehicle testing. You hear so much about this. It's going on all over the world. Millions and millions and millions of dollars are being spent by auto manufacturers to try to get into the loop of what's going on when we talk about vehicles that are automated or autonomous. And we'll figure out the difference there in just a moment. Dr. McGeehee, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful to have you with us.
Thank you, Michael. Great to be here as well.
Well, this is on the top of mind for lots of people out there, and University of Iowa has been deeply involved in testing and studying this. Can you give us a little history of what it is U of I has been doing?
Well, Michael, for over 25 years now, the University of Iowa has been doing research in advanced vehicle technologies, primarily technologies that help avoid crashes. And crashes are a big public health issue, not only in Iowa, but the U.S., but worldwide. We kill almost 40,000 people a year on our roads in the U.S. alone and over a million a year worldwide.
Wow.
So this is really an important public health issue. So those scientists, engineers, faculty, and our all-important students have been working on how to avoid crashes for a long time here using technology.
Well, as you mentioned, the number of deaths, but I would suspect if we extrapolate the number of injuries, because death is death, and injuries really impact healthcare systems around the world when it comes to automobile crashes, yes?
Yes, absolutely. It's very measurable at the city, county, state, and federal level in terms of quantifying what those medical costs are, and it's a big number.
Now, you said you've been working on automated vehicles at the university for 25 years. I think that'll come as a surprise to many people.
Yeah, we've sort of, I like to talk about the technologies that go into more highly automated vehicles as connecting a series of dots. And 25 years ago, we started developing the first forward collision warning systems that used a laser that was mounted on the front of your car to look at the car ahead and would measure whether you were coming across that car really quickly or they were braking, and it would issue an alert. And so that basic sensing technology, looking to the forward view, that's where most of our hazards are, whether it's a pedestrian, a bicycle, another car. A really big chunk of our hazards are in the forward view. And so that was really the first generation of sensing technology that we developed here. In fact, I developed the first prototype forward collision warning system for General Motors nearly 30 years ago before I came here to the University of Iowa. And so connecting those dots, first warning a driver that something is about to occur, and then we can integrate that into a computer network within the car and have the car begin to brake in response to that hazard ahead.
Well, I have just rented a car not very long ago that was equipped with that technology, and it took me a bit to get used to what in the heck was going on, because first of all, little lights would come on, you know, if there's somebody on either side of you that's passing you, or secondarily, if you get too close to a vehicle, I noticed that my vehicle would start to slow down automatically. And, you know, nobody told me, by the way, that, this is all this technology in this vehicle. And it was a little surprising at first.
Yes. In fact, a lot of the studies that we've done here show that people don't really understand the technology. In fact, many of these technologies you're describing, blind spot detection you mentioned, adaptive cruise control, which slows your car down, lane keeping system, which will kind of nudge you back into the lane if you drift. Many, many cars are coming with these technologies standard today.
Yes.
You can buy a $17,000 Toyota Yaris that has all of those technologies. All Toyotas, all Subarus, most Hondas, many Fords and GMs, just about every product line across the board has those technologies either for free or for a minor upgrade. So it's exciting for us that to see that have been looking at these technologies for a long time to see that they are now becoming nearly ubiquitous in every model year moving forward, especially in the model 2019 and 2020 year.
One of the things that it might be surprising to people is that you've been working on this technology for years, decades, and we're just now seeing it in production models over the past year or so. So how far ahead are you? Is that typical?
Yeah, I mean, we do advanced research here at the University of Iowa, and you know, a lot of those technologies were developed here, as well as we're funded by the auto industry, by federal government safety regulators to look at how these systems work and don't work. So most of these, most car companies have come through the University of Iowa doing research here. We have the National Advanced Driving Simulator that I direct as an $80 million driving simulator. We have the largest set of simulator labs in the world. Our crown jewel is what's called the NADS-1. That simulator sits in a basketball stadium-sized room. A full-size car sits in a dome, a 360-degree virtual reality view surrounds the driver, and we can put people into conditions that are far too dangerous to put them on the road with. And so it's an exciting place to be, where we push the edge. Now we're doing much more highly automated vehicle research that is still decades down the road in terms of when it becomes fully in production. We see tests around the country and around the world, as you mentioned, but it's still a long time before you're going to be able to go down and purchase or hail one of these kinds of vehicles.
Dan McGeehy, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He's a professor at the University of Iowa, and we're talking about automated vehicles. Now, there's a difference between automated and autonomous. Is that accurate?
Yeah, so there are quite a bit of nuance between the different terms. So you might see the term self-driving car,
yes,
autonomous car, automated car, highly automated car. And then even a term that's in production today, the vehicle that you rented a while ago, has something called advanced driver assistance systems. And those advanced driver assistance systems are essentially technologies that are looking over your shoulder right now and are kind of waiting to step in. So if you drift out of your lane because you might be distracted or you're falling asleep, it sort of steps in and nudges you back into the lane. If a car ahead begins to slow down, or you don't recognize in stop-and-go traffic that there's a car stopped, it's looking over your shoulder and will put on the brakes very quickly to alert you to and to avoid that crash. That's today's automation. Again, it looks over your shoulder. The next generation of automation, where we get a little bit higher level, is where the driver starts to look over the shoulder of the car, monitor it. It's much like many of your listeners have had teen drivers, and when you get a teen driver behind the wheel, you got to monitor them pretty closely because they might themselves get overwhelmed at a complicated intersection or not recognize a car that might be pulling out in front of you and so forth. So the next generation will have us drivers sort of monitoring what's going on with that kind of automation. And then the next generation beyond that is essentially like riding in an elevator. You push a button and it goes. There's no steering wheel. There's no brake pedal. There's no accelerator. You're along for the ride. And that's very much decades in the future before we see that commonplace.
We had a news story not too very long ago with regard to over-the-road trucking companies that are buying Tesla vehicles and going to be doing away with drivers altogether. or at least that's the plan. Is that a reality today?
Again, that's really decades okay. in the future. You're seeing some demonstrations right now,
yes.
even in the Chicagoland area. There was an article in the Chicago Tribune yesterday that there's some testing going on. But very much there are safety drivers that are monitoring these systems. They only drive on very carefully selected mm-hmm. roadways. So it's really like a script, if you will, that everything is very carefully orchestrated on where and when they drive. So sometimes the headlines get away with what the reality is. When you
sure.
look behind the curtain, there's really not much automation going on in terms of independence. And I think it will take quite a while for those vehicles to safely operate in public traffic. So, but you got to do the testing now. And figure out what works and what doesn't. But there are always safety drivers on board, regardless of what you see in the headlines.
Got it. One of the when seatbelts were installed in vehicles, and then we moved on to airbags, and there are side airbags, and all of these safety features, and what you're explaining to us now on some of these automated systems, these safety systems, there must be some quantifiable numbers, I would think, relative to how well these new tools may be protecting us or causing fewer accidents, perhaps? Anything like that going on?
Yeah, it's an important question. We have to, you know, as safety engineers, we have to look at what we're doing to make sure that we do no harm. We're very much like physicians and healthcare providers, is that we can't and won't release technologies that are going to hurt people. Our job is to eliminate crashes altogether in the long run. And so that's really an important part. And so with technologies like automatic emergency braking, which is part of that suite of advanced driver assistance systems that are now becoming very commonplace in the newest cars this year and next, very common, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, which represents nearly every single insurance company, pays into the Insurance Institute to do basic crash research. They're already seeing a 50% drop in rear-end collisions.
Wow.
And so in urban areas like Chicago and where there's a lot of stop-and-go traffic, this is really a big benefit, because in terms of measuring the cost of even a 5-mile-an-hour rear-end collision in an urban area, delays traffic hugely. And that sets off a huge chain of events downstream that is very measurable in terms of the cost. So if you already are eliminating 50% today with the very few vehicles with this technology, just imagine 10, 15, 20 years down the road when, you know, 90% of vehicles have this technology.
The auto body shops are not happy about that, I would suspect.
Well, for those slow-speed rear-end collisions, that's true.
Yeah. His name is Dan McGeehy, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about vehicles and testing vehicles and some of the results of those tests. Now, one of the things that we see, Dan, from our vantage point, and we were totally unaware until Tom Snee said, oh, by the way, Dan's working on this University of Iowa, which I think is fascinating, fascinating stuff. We read a lot about urban testing of vehicles, and these are being done in very controlled circumstances out there where lots of people are. How does all this work when we get into the rural parts of the country? Are you looking at that as well?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we just won a major grant, a $7 million grant from the United States Department of Transportation to do just that. In fact, really the brand of Iowa, as many of your listeners know, we have a great rapport with our fellow Iowans. The Iowa nice culture is a huge economic benefit and boon to how we do economic development.
Yes.
So we can get together with cities and counties and state officials, whether it's the governor or a mayor or a city councilor, we can come in and have a very quick rapport when we say, you know, this technology is going to benefit Iowans first. And this is really critical in terms of understanding how this technology applies to the rural roadway network, which is very different than city and freeways and highways. And then we have a lot of gravel roads. We have roads that are not very well painted or marked. We have slow-moving vehicles like tractors and other farm machinery. We have school buses that stop in the middle of the road where cars are going much faster. And we've already started embarking on a series of technology demonstrations that alert drivers when slow-moving vehicles are ahead, that are out of your view, whether it's a school bus stopping and going or a combine or a tractor. We just finished doing a demonstration to the Iowa DOT on how we can alert drivers that there is equipment ahead beyond their view.
Well, that is, our family, we are avid cyclists, Dan. And one of the things that is a bane to cyclists are crashes and many fatalities over the years when cyclists and automobiles or trucks are occupying the same highway. Do you see a time when this is going to be assistive to drivers of vehicles to be more aware of cyclists on our roads?
Yes, absolutely. The same technologies that we're putting on these slow-moving farm equipment and school buses would fit onto your fanny pack on your bicycle. Mm. And essentially squawks a radio signal that says that you are at this position and going this fast, or if, even if you're stopped on the side of the road, if you are, you know, a quarter mile ahead around a bend that you can't see and somebody's barreling down the a rural highway at 70 miles an hour, they would get an alert that says, hey, there's a bicyclist ahead in your right lane. Be aware. Or in the long-range future, when you have an automated vehicle, that same radio signal would be captured and then integrated into the control system of the vehicle where it would begin to slow down. One thing about more highly automated vehicles is that they're very dutiful in terms of speed limits and staying in the lane and so forth. But if they detect a bicycle, then they're going to slow way down and give you lots of room as you would be passed by them. So there's a lot of really great things when it comes to pedestrians and bicyclists and other vulnerable road users out there is really central to integrating everyone on the road into these next generation technologies.
And as we become more aware of multimodal transportation, which is quite the buzz all over the United States, all of these things come more into play, we would imagine. Our guest is Dan McGeehy, ladies and gentlemen, from the University of Iowa, and we're talking about automated vehicles and the studies that are being done at the University of Iowa. Final question for you. When we're talking about eliminating dangers and crashes and those types of things, the insurance industry, and you just indicated, they must be pretty pleased with this. Is there a time, do you think, that automobile insurance rates might be impacted by all of these new safety features?
It's a great question. I don't think so. And here's one of the challenges is that all this technology is really expensive. So
yes,
you might be able to prevent a fatality, but not eliminate the crash altogether. You might slow the speeds down. So there still might be an impact where nobody is injured or they might be injured slightly. But all of those sensors, whether they're radar or ultrasonic sensors, computer vision, those are pretty pricey sensors. And, you know, even cars that have blind spot detection generally use a radar that's mounted in the corners of the rear bumper to look down the road. If you have even a little fender bender in the parking lot, one of those sensors and that bumper might now cost $4,500, $5,000 for just a small little bump.
Yep.
So the technology is going to prevent a lot of crashes. It's going to reduce the severity of crashes, but It's much more expensive than just replacing a bumper cover now. It's a modern vehicle that you would buy today. You pick a brand, any brand has for parking ultrasonic sensors. Those are little buttons that you see kind of spread around the bumper. And then what you don't see is generally there's a radar in each corner of the rear bumper. And sometimes some vehicles have radars in the front as well, and front ultrasonic sensors. So there's a lot of stuff to damage in slow speed and medium speed crashes. So I think we're still going to see insurance rates the same, but it'd be great for you to bring on some folks from the insurance industry, especially from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, that are looking at that very carefully.
I would imagine. Doctor, thank you so much for spending. This has been really an eye-opening opportunity for us to learn more about what's going on at the University of Iowa. And as you indicated, this is leading-edge technology being driven worldwide right out of Iowa City. Good stuff. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Once again, that was Dr. Dan McGeehee from the University of Iowa talking about some amazing future thoughts when it comes to transportation. We'll have links to that project up on our radio blog. Well, that about wraps it up for another broadcast day. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing is Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Dr. McGeehee, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.